You are Locked On Kentucky, your daily Kentucky Wildcats podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Kentucky podcast. We bring you info and insights on UK football and basketball every weekday. Stay informed by making us part of your morning or afternoon commute. Listen and follow for free on Apple or Google Podcasts. Simply subscribe to Locked On Kentucky. I'm Dan Reifer with Fox 56, along with Kyle Tucker of The Athletic. And the ball is tipped, or as you said, Kyle,
the box is ripped.
The little box Debbie Sweet ripped. 16.
There you go.
Is underway. I released that bracket last night, the top 16, and immediately, you know, the selection committee just got hammered with bad seeding, omissions, bad brackets. I mean, I got all kinds, but it was so funny that you would get one person would say, oh, this one is seeded so low. And then another person would say, that thing is trash. It doesn't even belong. So that's the thing with something like this, is that the opinions are so widely varied.
Well, there's a reason there's like 9 million different kinds of restaurants. And also right. Little Debbie has like 40 different kinds of treats, because we have just wildly different tastes. Like there are people who don't like chocolate. John Hale does not like chocolate. Which makes, I think he's insane. My good friend Norm Wood.
I think he's from Russia, though.
Yeah. I used to cover Virginia and Virginia Tech with this guy named Norm Wood. He tweeted at me last night that he doesn't like peanut butter and chocolate together.
Yeah, that's the number one combination in the world for me right there.
Yeah, and I like literally almost all of my favorite. I like sour candy is big on my list, but other than like stuff that's fruit-flavored. Chocolate peanut butter is the common. It's why Nutty Buddies are like my gold standard.
Yeah.
People just have such different tastes. It's so funny though. Like this will end up being like the most interacted with thing that I've ever put on social media. and of course it's the most important.
Well, I couldn't believe. So I was just making fun of a few things. Like somebody said, you know, how do you leave out these guys or something like that? Or how did you seed it this way? And, you know, explaining it a little bit. And then I take a shot at Seth Greenberg. I'm like, hey, Seth Greenberg's already complaining that, you know, that his favorite treat didn't make the cut, you know? And then I said something about someone else said, oh, the bracket's perfect. And I'm like, finally, someone who, you know, agrees with me that this selection committee's been getting hammered over these selections. In any minute, I expect Dick Vitale to give us crap for leaving devil creams out. And sure enough, Dick Vitale replies and says, you are right, baby.
Yeah, it's great that we've got
to get Dick Vitale to reply to our little Debbie Sweet 16 bracket is phenomenal.
Yes, and we'll go over all the seedings and matchups and everything, but the voting is live right now. You, the people, will decide. So I tweeted out the West bracket on Tuesday morning, and the voting there is going about as you'd expect, although our 4-5 matchup is not a close game in that side of the bracket. But the notable thing right now is Honey Buns, which many people said were criminally underseeded as a 7 against Star Yes. Crunch, which a lot of people said was overrated. I love Star Crunch, and I think Honey Buns are meh. But Honey Buns, barring a miracle comeback by Star Crunch, is going to land our first major upset.
I can't believe that. See, I thought for sure that Star Crunch was number 4 on the list of Little Debbie treats. Yeah. I really believed that.
I think they're really good.
Yeah.
And they're getting crushed. I mean, just crushed. Almost 4,000 votes in the first 5 hours cast on that game.
Honey Buns.
Honey Buns running away with it. And then I launched that was about 9:44 on Tuesday morning. We launched the West bracket voting. And so there's 24 hours. So 9:44 Wednesday morning, the polls will close. The East region recently launched at 2:05 PM on Tuesday. So you'll have till 2:05 PM on Wednesday to finish voting there. Already looks like we're already up to 700 votes. in the East. And in the East, we do have a battle. We have our closest first round matchup as of recording this at 2:30 in the afternoon. Fudge Rounds as a 5 seed against Christmas Tree Cakes as a 4 seed. It is a neck and neck vote in these first half hour that we've got the poll going. That one's going to be interesting. That might be the best first round matchup in the history of the Little Debbie's tournament.
Well, I caught a lot of heat for that matchup being in the first round. You know, I heard that should have been a Final Four matchup, but you know, the committee just didn't agree. The committee was also hammered for like Boston Cream Rolls getting in, Banana Twins getting into the tournament, but they had pretty strong resumes. I mean, I looked at it and looked through Little Debbie's top sales and a few rankings by other media outlets nationwide who have done this before. And it turns out, Kyle, that I had no idea that this was going on. Truly did not know that at this very moment, Little Debbie itself, the company, is running its own tournament, has its own logo that looks very similar to like a NCAA tournament logo. And they call it Cake Palooza 2020. And they are down to the exquisite 8. And so they can't, of course, call it Little Debbie Sweet 16 because Little Debbie is a company for profit. So they're selling their products. They can't use the
trademark NCAA stuff.
Yeah. It would be trademark infringement because it's making a profit. We have nothing to profit by running a Little Debbie tournament. So we can call it Little Debbie. We can call it Sweet 16 because there's no money attached to it. That's why we can do it. But
and
Little
also,
Debbie replied to us when they saw the
Little
bracket.
Debbie and Dick Vitale involved in this.
They said, great idea. We've entered the final week of our Cake Palooza 2020. So if you want comparison's sake, who is their final eight versus who our final eight will be, you could get a look and see, you know, how we match up against the Little Debbie tournament. And then,
well, one thing I would say is, you know, you could say, oh, that's redundant then if there's two contests going, but it's all about matchups, you know? And so the way we've seeded this thing, I mean, we've got some good treats going out early, you know, fudge rounds or Christmas tree cakes are not going to get out of the first round. You know, those are Final Four teams right there. You know, you could argue Nutty Buddy versus Donut Sticks. Whew. I mean, that's Kentucky Wichita State all over again. You know, you know, committee didn't really want to give Nutty Buddy a 1 seed, you know, and Donut Sticks was preseason number 1, but, you know, lost, I think, 10 games in the regular season, you know, fell out of the ranking. So you got to
prove it.
I mean, going to have to prove it. Donut Sticks would have to beat Nutty Buddy in the first round and then either Fudge Round or Christmas Tree Cakes in the second round. I mean,
it's tough. It's,
you know, Swiss could go Nutty Buddy, Christmas Tree Cake, Swiss Roll just to get to the title game. Going to be a brutal, tough path there. One thing I would say is some people are quibbling with Banana Twins. They think Booker and Euless Treats should have been in instead of the Banana Twins. But you can't overlook what the Banana Twins did last year in the tournament. You know, they made all the clutch plays.
They did.
And so you don't just swap them out for the hot new treat, you know, the experimental new treat out there. You stick with Banana Twins because they've proven themselves over time.
Oh, this is phenomenal. We're going to have so much fun with this, guys. So, go online, go on Twitter, check Kyle's Twitter account out, and the polls are up. Again, all first-round matchups are out there for voting through one of them is through 9:45-ish tomorrow morning, the other one through about 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, and we'll discuss those results throughout the week here on the Locked On Kentucky podcast. Okay, when we continue, we're actually going to talk some real sports. Mark Stoops spoke on Friday, and we really haven't had a chance to dig into what he said. not a lot of just earth-shattering stuff, but definitely some noteworthy comments and things to discuss, and we'll get into it when we return on the Locked On Kentucky podcast. To get fit in 2020, you don't have to join a gym or pay a ton for overpriced fitness equipment. The best way to get in the best shape of your life is with Echelon. Go to echelonfit.com to discover their EX1 connected fitness bikes that offer a high quality at-home cycling experience at a less than half the price of a Peloton. Echelon makes beautifully engineered products for everyone, busy moms and dads, first responders, and elite athletes, whatever your activity level. And with daily live and on-demand studio classes right in your home, you'll never have to step foot in a gym. You'll love Echelon, but if you aren't 100% satisfied, we'll give you your money back. Join the hundreds of thousands of men and women who are getting fit with Echelon. Don't pay a ton for a Peloton. Buy an Echelon bike today for under $1,000. Go to echelonfit.com/LONFL to learn about their limited time free Apple iPad and complete details of this exclusive offer. Echelon, it's your time. That's echelonfit.com/LONFL. echelonfit.com/LONFL.
You are Locked On Kentucky, your daily Kentucky Wildcats podcast.
Okay, we're back here on the Locked On Kentucky podcast. And on Friday, Mark Stoops spoke via Zoom video, you know, over a video conference with a bunch of media members to get into, well, several topics. He went for about, I think, 45 minutes. But the one that caught my attention immediately was, yes, he is thinking about no football season. Let's let you listen to the comment he was asked about. Kirk Herbstreit had made the comment that he thought it was a very good possibility we would not have college football in 2020. And Mark Stoops was asked, are you concerned about that?
I am. But as you know, I also try to stay in my lane as best possible. We're going to continue to work and to prepare to play that opening game. That's where my mindset is. To say that it hasn't crossed my mind or I don't think about it, that's a lie. I mean, you do, but you have to block it out and continue to push and work and do the best you can to be prepared. So that's what I'm worried about, is getting the team ready. I did touch base with Kirk yesterday on the phone and talk just about, you know, really, quite honestly, personal things, checking on his family, he's checking on ours, and just talking. But no, I have no control over that, as you know. This is much bigger than the University of Kentucky. We will do the things necessary and do what we're told. But as of right now, we're preparing to play.
Yeah, Kyle, I don't think there's any doubt that college football coaches around the country are starting to think about this and having to worry.
Yeah, I don't know how you at this point, I don't know how you could not be worried about it. And it's not to say that, like, by August, you know, people are like, you don't think the country will be starting to, you know, get back together by August and September. And it's not even really that, maybe not, but also I even if a lot of things have gone back to normal, will colleges be welcoming back tens of thousands of students at that point to cram into dorms and classrooms? Do we really think that that's already going to be okay by then? And put 60, 70, 80, 100,000 people in stadiums? You know, you could say, well, play it empty stadiums, but still you'd have to be back on campus. You know, they're not going to have a season with college athletes if they're not even allowed back on their campuses. They're not going to create a quarantine dorm just for the athletes to come back.
No.
So yeah, of course it's up in the air at this point.
They have to be back by August, in my opinion. If they're not back August,
I mean, and really
know,
July,
in time,
I mean,
for the training camp.
I mean, really July. I mean, you know, I don't think you could just show up in August having not seen these guys, period. I mean, no summer lifting, no summer workouts, and then you're going to go into training camp? I mean, the guys will be in horrible shape.
Yeah, well, that first week of training camp would have to be a lot of conditioning. They're limited in pads anyway, you know, for that first week.
It would just be incredibly unsafe, I think.
But if the playing field was level, where everybody just had the 4 weeks, or if they just they definitely could move the season back a week. They don't have to start Labor Day weekend. They could definitely move it back a week as well.
Yeah, I think the other thing you have to consider, I've got some connections to various people in athletic programs around the country, and I believe there's some chatter that's going on about, at least as a theoretical solution, that college basketball and college football run concurrently in the spring semester. And that would be really, really interesting. Yeah, I don't know how much, you know, that's being put on the table, but you know, it goes to the idea we talked. I think we mentioned this on the podcast before. A question I raised, like, if they can't play football in the fall, do you just scrap all sports? If they can't do the fall and winter sports, do you just scrap them all for the season? Because do you tell the fall and winter sport people sorry, and then let the other half of your athletes compete in the spring if it's okay then? I don't know. So what we may get is just this mega log jam, you know, in the new year, if we have a vaccine by then. I mean, a big part of it is that, like, how fast can they get a vaccine?
Yeah.
Because if there's a vaccine on the horizon and it gets out to people and, you know, everybody's vaccinated in January 2021, which is, I think even that is very optimistic, but let's say they fast track it and they do that. Now you can, in good conscience, send people into classrooms and dorms and football stadiums and arenas. You know, this is all total speculation, but I think, point being, you do have, yes, you, if you're not worried about football season, and it's not at the top of the list, shouldn't be at the top of the list of the worry, survival of all the people you care about should be. But if you're not concerned that football might not happen in the fall, you're not paying attention, I think. And I think it's good that Stoops seems to be realistic. And yeah, there's some worry there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So they're not having spring practice. They didn't have much spring practice at all. I think they had maybe three or four sessions before they broke. And then they had spring break. And then by the time spring break was over, everything had changed. So Mark Stoops was asked about what he did see in that brief amount of time with the team during spring practice. Here's what he said.
There is no doubt about it that the continuity and the strength, you know, with our offensive line is there. You know, again, I think it's very evident that we have a deep backfield with some talented players. I was very impressed with the receivers continuing to make some jumps in the push. Josh Ali, Cleavon Thomas, you know, were a couple guys that stood out to me. Alan Daly has an opportunity. Defensively, as you know, we have quite a few players that come back with a lot of experience. So I was pleased with that group just overall, you know, for the start. But it was just a start. We have a long way to go. I do have a lot of confidence in this team. I feel like it's, a really, really good group. They have a lot of experience. We have some really good continuity. We feel like we have some impact guys coming in, you know, with Terry not being able to go through spring. You know, Bo Allen and Joey Gatewood stood out, you know, for guys that you look for the future. You look for some guys that were really impressive to me in the first five practices. So that was good to see. As you know, that was important for us. We needed to hit on some guys and feel really good about them. So, you know, that's just a few.
So I think even with the limited amount of time that Stoops was able to see his team together, he was definitely able to tell, no worries on the offensive line. We're back better than ever there. Running backs back better than ever there. Receivers, he saw some guys step up that he needed to see. They're still a little unproven. We'll see about that. But without Terry Wilson in there, he mentioned both Bo Allen and Joey Gatewood by name as guys he was able to, that he liked what he saw in just a brief amount of time. But defensively, they're going to be fine. And really, the receiver group and Terry Wilson's health is the big thing, because Terry Wilson doesn't, you know, how much rehab is he getting to do? Mark Stoops said that some players have been given an opportunity to do one-on-one rehab, the guys who were rehabbing. But he didn't really get into the details of that enough for me to fully understand that. But again, those would be the concerns there. Is Terry Wilson ready to go under these circumstances if they are back in camp in August? And then that receiver group, are they ready to step up?
Yeah, I would imagine he was just happy to see some vertical passes, you know, down the field and practice again. You sort of feel for those wide receivers because they were all, you know, they felt pretty good about the group they had of young wide receivers going into last season, that they were going to be able to open up the passing game quite a bit more in year two of Terry Wilson and even early on with Sawyer Smith before he got banged up. And then it just went away. And then all those wide receivers, I mean, nobody on that team made a greater sacrifice than the wide receivers.
Yeah, it's almost surprising that none of them entered the transfer portal, you know?
Right. I mean, that's a good point. Although I don't know how hot a commodities any of them would have been after recording no stats.
Right.
Yeah, imagine that press release, like Kentucky grad transfer enrolls at Purdue after two catches for 12 yards.
Right. But,
you know, Josh Ali, Cleavon Thomas, Alan Daly, those are all guys that, you know, you've seen some flashes of. You've seen them make a big play here or there. They just need a guy to get them the ball consistently. I thought it was interesting, too, him talking about, seemed like feeling pretty good about both Bo Allen and Joey Gatewood when you look to the future of the quarterback position. I mean, they are in way better shape today, you know, in the long, short and long term at quarterback than they were at any point last season. And probably the season before that. So I think that's good. I mean, you got a blue chip high school quarterback. You got a super, super blue chip, former blue chip transfer in Gatewood, who's a monster physically. So you got a long-term option in Bo and a relatively short-term option, probably in Joey Gatewood. You would think, by next year, he's ready to step in there, maybe. You know, and Terry Wilson, assuming Terry gets healthy, a great option. So that part of it to me is a big, big deal that they're not going to get caught where it worked out great. It worked out great in the long run, I guess, having Lynn Bowden come to the rescue, but that's not ideal. And I don't think they'll be caught in that kind of a situation anytime in the near future.
Yeah. Well, to get to the point where they're able to have a Bo Allen, a Joey Gatewood, a Terry Wilson, a stable of running backs the way they have, that offensive line that this is going to be, you know, another year, a third or fourth year in a row where they're going to be almost as stout as anybody in the SEC on the front. And that all comes from, really, the improvement in recruiting. You know, you get better, you're able to get better recruits. But then when they get the recruits here, the strength and conditioning program and, you know, developing players. Of course, that's a big part of what Stoops does at Kentucky to get this program to have the success it has had in recent years. And so they don't have that right now. This is the time where you make big gains. So Mark Stoops addresses that.
The strength and conditioning piece is very big to us, and we take great pride in that. You've heard me talk about it many, many times, that our strength and conditioning staff do such a good job. And I feel like that's where we make our gains. That's where we've gained on people, is outworking them and developing our strength and our conditioning and becoming a big, strong, physical football team. So that's imperative. That we continue that while we're not around these players right now.
And Kyle, I think that is could be, I mean, it was to your point a little bit, what you said, you know, shortly ago, where you can't just come in August and not have been doing any strength and conditioning all summer long and then expect to jump up and be ready to go. But not only that, but this is where they feel like, with their leadership program, with their strength and conditioning program, this is where they feel like they've made those big games. This is how they've, you know, gained on teams in the SEC, is doing this every summer.
Right. I mean, this is a big blow for a program like Kentucky. And I mean, especially if the season gets delayed or for some, you know, awful reason they can't play this season. I mean, what a blow would that be to Kentucky in a year where everybody's kind of looking to, like, can they jump up and steal the East, you know?
Yeah.
And then, you know, I don't know. I don't want to get too far into the weeds, but when you start thinking about if you lost a season in college football and the need then to make people whole, giving another year of eligibility, I mean, think about the backlog of rosters in football.
If you
ended up with that. I mean, because there's so many people.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're talking about, oh, what? Think about how much, you know, it would just be too hard to figure out how to give these basketball players, senior basketball players, another year roster management. I mean, think about football. How much would that cost the school, too? I mean,
you're talking about at least another 25 players.
Well, not necessarily.
Roster.
Not everybody's got that many seniors, but, like, you know, well, I mean, I guess you'd have to give that's the other question. Would you have to give everybody another year of eligibility?
Well, it's only fair, it seems like.
I mean, people need to understand that the world we used to live in is not that world anymore, and some crazy things are going to get shaken up.
Yeah, there's a whole lot to figure out.
Yeah, a lot of dominoes. And, you know, I think a big one is the strength and conditioning. I mean, for everybody, because everybody is going to be out of shape, but that leads to injuries. If you haven't done all the work in the off season, I mean, it's quantifiable. If you're not in tip top shape and you go into a season in a sport like football, you're more likely to get injured. And then beyond that, the development of, if you think you have one of the elite strength and conditioning and nutrition programs in the country, and that's your edge, and Stoops put a premium on that from day one. He hired Eric Corum, who's no longer there, who is an elite, sort of outside the box strength and conditioning and training coach who, you know, a lot of professional leagues and teams have reached out to over the years. I mean, Stoops has tried to be on the cutting edge of that from day one, and they've only continued and sort of tweaked and altered that program to the point where, I mean, you look at a guy like Josh Allen, what he looked like when he got to Kentucky and what he looked like when he left. I mean, that is their edge. And if you lose an entire, not just summer, if you lose spring, almost all your spring practice and all the workouts that come in the winter, summer, you know, and if you get pushed back on training camp, how much have you lost when you are a team like that that's trying to – I mean, you need every edge at Kentucky to compete in the SEC with people that have been above you for longer.
For Josh Allen from, I guess, his final season, he left after his junior season or he came back as a senior?
He came back as a senior, yeah.
So between his junior and senior season, so that spring, his junior year, and then, you know, going into the fall camp, I hadn't seen him since the spring. And I see him right as fall camp's getting ready to start, beginning of his senior year. And I saw him and went, holy, my gosh, Josh. And I asked him, I said, you know, how much have you put on? You're completely different. And he'd put on something like 10 pounds of muscle. So you think of a guy like J.J. Weaver, you know, who came in and played a little bit last season in his true freshman season, and they saw some things they liked from him. Well, he's tall and skinny. He doesn't have a lot of that meat on his bones yet. And so a time like this right now, from his freshman to his sophomore season, would give him an opportunity to change his body and be something a little different by the time football season rolls around. So that's definitely a big piece of it. Another piece of it, recruiting. And we're going to, and this was a very telling comment to me from Mark Stoops. So we'll listen to him about the recruiting and how the coronavirus is affecting that when we return on the Locked On Kentucky podcast.
This is Locked On Kentucky, your team every day.
All right, we're back here on the Locked On Kentucky podcast, and we've been listening to a few comments from Mark Stoops. We've gone over strength and conditioning, his concern that maybe there might not be football in the fall. Also, what he's seen in the brief amount of time that he did have spring practice. Here's something else that he was talking about, recruiting. And listen to his comments about, he doesn't come right out and say what he's trying to say, but he goes around it enough that he says, in my opinion, that we are, and to put this another analogy is John Calipari. Like when he says Kentucky's not for everybody and they don't take certain players and they back off certain guys and they go and handpick the ones they want. And they don't get all the ones they want, but they're not going to take somebody just because they need some talent. And Mark Stoops has gotten to that point, it seems like, where he's trying to do that even more. So listen to what he has to say here.
As we get better and we continue to build our program, and we've had a good run, it's a good start, and we want to continue to build this program, but we want to make sure we're selecting the right players as well. We feel very good about where we're at. You know, even a year ago, we started maybe a touch slow. You start thinking you need to push the button or whatever. By the end of it, by the time, you know, December was rolling around last year, November, December, I was having a really hard time, you know, not taking guys' commitment, let's put it that way. So we can be more selective. The better we're getting, the better job our coaches do at recruiting and building off the positive things that have happened in our program, we want to make sure we're selecting the right players. I think that's where you got to be careful, because we want to make sure we know exactly what we're getting, and we're making sure that it's a great fit for us here at the University of Kentucky with these players. We are different. We do things different. Everybody does. So we want to make sure, you know, we're selective in finding the right players that we feel could come in and be committed to the things that are important to us. And so it's, again, unprecedented times. It's very unique and very different. So that's a tricky question, what you just answered. And I'm not just skirting around it, but yes, it's important to get the guys we know what we're getting and we're comfortable with them. And we've had that recently with a commitment, but that was somebody and some folks that we're very, very comfortable with because we've spent a lot of time with already. You know, some other players maybe that want to commit, you know, we still need to make sure we're doing enough research on that. And that's where it's going to be tricky here with this class.
It seems what Mark Stoops is saying is that because of this coronavirus, social distancing, and you can't get around people and kids, that just watching players play on tape, just hearing a coach who coaches them and loves them, who's biased towards them, tell them about them, just maybe listening to what a parent has to say, not being able to travel and do a little research on kids in their home environment, all those things and not being around the families is kind of preventing Mark Stoops from being able to say, yeah, we'll take this kid in this particular times that we're in, because they're not going to take somebody just to be, you know, filling out a need if they don't know what kind of character that kid has.
Well, and you know, one of the real strengths of Kentucky has been, you know, evaluation, to the point that there are a lot of programs that are cheating off Kentucky's paper now. You know, I've talked to some folks on other beats and national folks that work for us who've sort of paid attention and asked around, and that's a very real thing. Like there are other big time established programs that are looking over Kentucky's shoulder. If they offer a kid, then all of a sudden you see some other programs come in and offer, and they've been really good at that. You know, identifying guys early and being right on a lot of them. And as much of that, as much of the, like, just what is he physically, you know, what could he become physically, is the other stuff, you know, finding out, can, you know, is there baggage we can overcome, like the Lynn Bowden situation, and help, or is there stuff that could drag the team down? You know, all those things, and you got to be there. You know, it's just like in reporting, like, you can do plenty on the phone, and we're having to do it all now that way on the phone. But if given the choice, any good reporter is going to tell you, like, it's way better to be there, to see it with your own eyes, to take notes about what it looks and sounds and smells like, and what the person you're interviewing, what their body language is, all those things. You tell a much richer story by being there, by getting out of your house and going there. And that's all true in evaluating players, I would imagine. You know, like, I can watch film all day of high school kids, but I don't have a real sense for how good are the players on that I'm watching them against, and how big are the players I'm watching against? How big is the guy I'm looking at really? I want to go see for myself,
The circumstances.
I want to go sit in his house,
surrounding everything.
I want to go sit in his house and look around, like what kind of environment has he grown up in?
What kind of accountability is being held to in his own high school football program?
All that stuff. I mean, it is impossible to get that right at the same hit rate when you're not able to be there in person and be there several times. Kentucky's going and going and going and coming back. And, that has all gone away for who knows how long, and trying to do this stuff from your house on the phone and video chat is not remotely the same thing.
And he referenced Kaya Sharon, the Somerset quarterback who helped Somerset win its first ever state championship back last winter in December. And Stoops said, well, we could do that because we already knew the kid. We already knew his family. He'd already come up here on visits. We'd already recruited him a little bit. And that's why they're able to do that. So now moving on to the NFL's recruitment, if you will. You got Lynn Bowden and Logan Stenberg are the two, highest prospects for Kentucky in the NFL draft. The NFL draft is still going to happen. They're not going to have people there in person, but they're still going to go through with it toward the end of April. And so Mark Stoops was asked about, Logan Stenberg and Lynn Bowden and what their situation is like right now.
And I have heard from quite a few teams, and, they like our players. And I think, the good thing is guys like Logan, he did an awful lot. He was able to – the Senior Bowl was big for him and the combine. But Lynn, I don't think it'll hurt him at all. I have heard from quite a few teams, and the one common theme is the film doesn't lie. The kid is an incredible football player, an incredible competitor. And you know what? I don't know. I've never worked in the NFL. They got to do what they got to do. Maybe it'll be good for them to quit worrying about all the other things and just look at the film and see who the best football players are, because he's certainly one of them.
I think Mark Stoops makes a really good point there. They had the combine, and all of a sudden this quarterback named Jordan Love that none of us had ever heard of is on Mel Kiper's big board and Todd McShay's big board and every NFL draft network or NFL draft, mock draft, whatever. They're putting this Jordan Love up there as one of the top quarterbacks. And it's because what they saw at the combine or in a workout or something. And Stoops' point there is sometimes these guys overthink it and they start looking at, all these little things in a workout or at a combine or something when there's a whole season worth of evidence to show you what kind of player he is. And if they just took and paid attention to that, they'd be really high on Lynn Bowden.
Yeah, a guy I'd like to hear from would be Brad White. As a guy who spent a lot of time in an NFL office, he's obviously was a defensive coach in the NFL, but would this be a guy you'd be worried about? Would this be a guy that you'd look at and just go, look, this is what the film is everything we need to know. Everything else is kind of secondary. He's a playmaker. I'd be curious, what would a guy like Brad White say about that? But I think to a large extent, Stoops is probably right. I mean, the guy played in the toughest league in football at a position that wasn't his normal position over time in a situation where it was obvious what was going to happen when he was back there. And it couldn't be stopped. Even ran for 100 yards on 99 yards, I think, on Georgia. And it would have been over 100 if not for a couple of holding penalties in a pouring rain. I mean, you just look at that. I mean, he was productive against everybody they played. He lit Bud Foster's defense on fire in what would have been his last game as the legendary defensive coordinator of Virginia Tech, when he had a month to prepare and knew exactly what was going to happen. These kids a playmaker against other playmakers.
And it was beyond just like, athleticism. He's reading things and looking at defenses, and you have to have a certain acumen that he showed, certain instinctual capability as well. But
yeah, I think Lynn Bowden is a bit of a savant. I mean, I think he's kind of a football savant. I mean, you look at some of the high school tape on him where, you know, he was punting and he was doing like everything. And he and every play you see is just a crazy highlight, no matter what position he was lined up at.
Yeah. All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Kentucky. We're going to keep on with the Little Debbie Sweet 16, of course, throughout the week. And then we're going to talk to Frank Bufano at some point. We had tried to get him yesterday. We had some technical issues, but hopefully Frank Bufano, the newly hired safeties coach who has been here at UK with Mark Stoops since Stoops came in and promoted from director of football ops to safeties coach. So hopefully we'll be able to get that squared away and have an interview with him for you later this week. But in the meantime, yeah, check us out on Twitter. Go vote on the Little Debbie Sweet 16. I am at DRIEFFER. Kyle is at
Kyle Tucker _ADH. I had to think about it for a second.
And right now, just go tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Chad Ford's NBA Big Board. Thanks for listening, guys.
You are Locked On Kentucky, available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or tell Alexa or Google to play podcast Locked On. Don't worry, I won't finish. You get the idea.